Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, we are still in the book of Proverbs, that book that declares wisdom from beginning to ending. And we know that this book, it was written especially for us today, how to apply it and get through the experiences we're having this side of eternity thoughtfully in Christian principles. Okay, so now I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, meaning your laptops and Bible tablets and Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. About every 10 minutes or so, we'll have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always like to do, thank you for those who have given me input on the show. The comments and the advice that you have been giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, and I hope you continue to do that, I am taking and using and converting it into what I can in this show. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? You know, God said, for a moment, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. That was identified in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7. And it is telling us that the blessing will be the mercy that we receive from God. And we must hang in there until we get it. God also said, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his own might. Let not the rich man glory in his own riches, but let him that glory in this, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things God takes delight. So that was taken from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the blessing from that is that if we execute loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, God will bless us. God said again through King David, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's taken from Psalms 37, verse 1 through 3. The blessing is that we will be taken care of, my brothers and sisters, if we remain faithful to God. So the question again for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God? Listen, before we get started, I want to tell you, as I always do, because it is pertinent to realize that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies and proverbs and paradoxes and riddles and symbols and the like. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's what we're all about. So let's study and learn together. Let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at verse 12. And, of course, the instruction that I want you to keep in mind is identical to the verse itself. So this instruction, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. So that's exactly what we're being told by Solomon. He says this to Israel. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. That is so significant to understand, my brothers and sisters, because pride goes before the fall. And we know that it's used constantly throughout the cliches of the world. And so Jeremiah gives us even more of an understanding of this. Turn your Bible sources with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, and this is going to give us a real good understanding of why this is so. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. So you see about the heart in destruction? He continues to say, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Meaning there is no salvation, if you will. There is nothing that can be drawn from that but destruction. He says, continuing in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know why? This is why he said it. Verse 9 completes the thought. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord God, search the heart and tries the reins in the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So that's telling us through Jeremiah that the heart is unstable at best. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus also specifically identified this obstruction, the heart. Listen to what, turn your Bible sources with me to Mark chapter 7. We're going to read verse 3 through 23. Listen to what Mark says. Jesus said in Mark that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, and I see that we're at our first break. Take our first break, and then we'll complete the instruction.
That person that feels like they lost their worth and their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth, like, 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all got to pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly, it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up, what if I stomp on it, and then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? At least 92 cents? It's okay, alright, so what if I ball it up, what if I step on it, what if I put it in trash, and then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Whoa. Wait. Wait a second. I just balled it up. I just stepped on it. I put it in trash. I pulled it out. Then I tore it in half. And you mean to tell me I can pick the dollar up, I can wipe it off, and I can put some tape around it, and it's still worth a dollar? Then why? If this dollar doesn't lose its worth or its value, then why do you feel like you've lost your worth of value? Because many of you feel like you've been stepped on, you feel like you've been pushed aside, you feel like you've been abandoned, you feel like you've been talked about, you feel like you've been abused, like someone took from you, someone hurt you, somebody took advantage of you, and deep down inside your core, you feel like you've lost some of your value. And I am here to tell you today that this dollar still has worth and value. Because there are some men years ago who put value over this life and said that no matter what happens to it, it can still be taped back together. It can still be wiped off. And I am here to tell you that you were created and you're born and you're here and you have life and you have purpose and you have value. And though you've gone through some hard times and though you've experienced some depression and you might be wanting to hurt yourself or you might want to give up, I am here to tell you you still got worth and value. And there is nothing that can happen that can take your worth and your value away. So what you gotta do now is you gotta pick yourself up. You gotta dust yourself off and you gotta keep moving.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're gonna complete this instruction on the reason the heart is deceptive. Listen to what Jesus had to say. This is comparing and agreeing with what Solomon declared about the destructive heart. And Jesus supplements it or compares and agrees it and gives us more detail. And listen to what he said in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come from within and defileth the man. That's out of the heart. So you can see where we run into trouble. We must be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, because that's what the heart represents. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. that as the prophet said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the knowledge, my precious brothers and sisters, of everlasting life can better control it. And that's why it is so significant for us to aspire and to achieve and attain the knowledge of everlasting life. That's what I want you to get out of this, that the knowledge of everlasting life will overcome and override and control the heart. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs. We're going to get another lesson out of verse 13 in chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 13. And, of course, it's going to be almost identical to the instruction. The instruction is, he that answereth a matter before he hear it is a fool. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? We must be quick to hear and swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger and slow to wrath, because that's foolishness. Listen to what Solomon said in chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly, and shame upon him. And let's go to 1 Kings, and we're going to get a good example of how that occurred. Solomon involved in 1 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 16 through 28. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 28. And listen how this is happening in this scenario. Then came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while the handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid the dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, listen, this is where the speaking before you think. And the other woman said, nay, but the living son is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy said, it thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. Listen how the king resolved this. And the king said, bring me the sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give one to the one and the half to the other. Then spake the woman with the living child to the king, for her bowels yearned for her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be mine, not thine, but divide it. And that, and again, the king answering said, give the living child to the one in no wise that slay it, that she is the mother thereof. And Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. And you see what happened to the one that answered too fast without thinking? And that's the way we amplify what Solomon is talking about in his proverb. And now we're going to go to James chapter 1. Turn your Bible sources with me to James chapter 1, and we're going to see how the Apostle James compares and agrees with what we just read in verse 6 through 8. This is what James says. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and this is about talking too fast without thinking. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, because that's what happens when you talk before you think. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich, I started at the wrong verse. Let me start with verse 6 through 8. It says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's one who speaks before he thinks. And verse 19 clarifies it by saying, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And that is the end result, that it's going to cause calamity. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must listen before we speak out. But even more assuredly, we should understand what we hear before we answer it. That is so significant to note. Again, I want you to get this from this instruction, that we must listen before we speak out. But more assuredly, we should understand what we hear before we answer it. And that is the key. Now let's go turn back with me to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 18 again. We're going to take another instruction from Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 14. And, of course, I see we're at the second break. Let's take the second break, then we'll continue with the lesson.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this verse, Jesus commanded his disciples and us to be wise as serpents. The word wise is the Greek word which means prudent, careful, cunning, discerning, thoughtful, intelligent, or sensible. This word perfectly depicts the behavior and actions of the snakes. They are very careful, discerning, intelligent, and prudent in how they act. It is fact that Jesus told us that we need to be as wise as serpents. There's obviously something Jesus wanted us to learn from the behavior of snakes. If you're squeamish about serpents and snakes, stay with me for the next moment so you can get the full impact of what Jesus was telling us. Remember, Jesus is the one who chose to use a serpent to make this point. So let's consider the behavior of serpents for a moment and see how this relates to us being wise in the way we live our lives. First, when serpents move into a new territory, they don't announce their presence. Instead, they lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment. As snakes evaluate a new situation, they see what kind of opportunities are in the area. They identify places of shelter. They find hiding places to protect themselves from the attack. They observe and see where they can find the easiest prey. When all these facts are assimilated, the serpent is ready to act, and Jesus said there is wisdom in a serpent's behavior from which we need to learn. Lesson. When God tells you or me to do something new, it is wisdom for us to move carefully into that new phase of our lives. A common mistake is to act too fast. Acting hastily before all the facts are gathered and assimilated can lead us to make erroneous decisions. In fact, one serious mistake can cause us to lose an opportunity altogether. It's better to lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment for a while, learning from the sights and facts we observe. Second, serpents are wise enough to know when to seize the moment and strike. Knowing when to act is as important as knowing when to lay low. When prey passes before a serpent, that serpent knows it's time to strike. If the snake waits too long, the opportunity will pass, and the prey will reach an irretrievable position. Lesson. When it's time to act, put your fears and emotions aside and seize the moment. I have seen so many people pray and pray for divine opportunity to come to them. They wait for that golden moment to come, and at last, it does. A great door of opportunity stands directly in front of them. It's time to act. But rather than seize the moment, and walk through that door, they pause just a little bit longer. God brought them exactly what they have been waiting for, but because they paused, they lost the opportunity. When they finally got around to saying yes, it was too late. You and I are not brilliant enough to figure out the right timing for everything by our own logic. So be very careful not to move too fast, and be careful also not to delay when the time is right to act. Open your heart to the Spirit of God, and let Him begin to teach you when to lay low and when to strike. Thanks for watching this video.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back to Proverbs 18. We're going to take another instruction out of Proverbs 18. And of course, as is in many cases, the instruction is going to be identical to the verse that is cited. So this is the instruction. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. That is so significant. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, not the flesh. Okay? And this is what Solomon is telling Israel in verse 14 of chapter 18. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? And that is, again, adding to the spirit is the chief character in this. But if the spirit is wounded, again, the evil workings of the flesh and the spirit, we read in the last instruction how Jesus told us what comes out of the heart, spiritual stuff, all right? And that can get us in trouble too. Now let's go to Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to see why this is. This is what happened in the garden. And this is going to show us or amplify why this is so. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Listen, and this is why. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That is spirit, my brothers and sisters, not flesh. Listen, and he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, having dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, so he blessed them with his spirit, and this is key. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and this is why it's the spirit that emanates the flesh and not the reverse. Verse 7 says in chapter 3, or chapter 2, that was chapter 1 we read. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Then man became a living soul. So you see, it's the spirit that is in control. And that's what this is telling us. Now let's go to Galatians, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. Turn your Bible sources with me to Galatians chapter 5, and listen to how Paul says it in verse 16 through 23. Listen, and this is so critical. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that they would. Now, they weren't contrary one to the other in the beginning. As we read in Genesis, they were one. But of course, sin entered the picture. Man fell. The curse in the Garden of Eden occurred. And that's why it's reflected in verse 17 by Paul that way. And so he continues by saying, but if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which we talked about earlier when Jesus said it's the inside of a man coming out of him that defiles him, which are these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, you have to let the Spirit sustain you, not the flesh. And listen, this is the sustenance of the Spirit. In verse 22, Paul continues, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So we're told that we should be following what are spiritual things and not that which is fleshly oriented. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That mind, meaning the Spirit, over matter, meaning the flesh, does work most of the time. But of course, if you go too far, it won't matter. The end result is physical death. So we know that if you go too far overboard, that the flesh will kill you, and it will kill the soul also. And that is the danger. So that's the instruction I'm trying to share with you in this instance, that you follow the Spirit and not the flesh. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to take another look at another verse. And like I said, these verses are identical to the instruction. Verse 17, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. He that is first in his own cause seems just. Listen to what Solomon said. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. That is telling us that the one that speaks up first gets that appearance of being right, but it's not always so. Remember, we talked a few minutes ago about the individual that talks too fast before they hear and understand, and they're considered fools. So let's look and see what Leviticus says about this, because this has been put into law that we must be careful about how we react to quickness. And this is what Leviticus chapter 19 says. And listen, God is the one that's purporting this to Israel. Listen to what God said. And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, I see we're at another break. Let's take this break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Understand how much it costs you to survive bad times. What they don't understand is that even when you are expecting something good to happen, it costs you something. That hope costs you something. That expectation costs you something. It takes something for you to stand in a position of readiness, expecting good things to happen that don't. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And I thought that by now I would have been married. I had planned a wedding for my 20s, and now I'm 42. The numbers have reversed, and I'm still by myself. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I thought I would have my degree, but every time I get ready to go back after my degree, something sets me back. And when you keep wanting something that keeps evading you, if you're not careful, it will wear you down. To wait for something, anticipating it, and it doesn't happen, costs you more than somebody who wants nothing. That's why we have so many people who fall into the abyss of wanting absolutely nothing, because sometimes it is easier not to want anything than it is to want it and not get it. I want you to understand then that while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, they were burning oil. While nothing was happening, they were burning oil. You have to burn some oil to be able to wait. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You have to be tough to wait. You have to be tough to work all day and go to school at night. You have to be tough to take two part-time jobs and put them together and try to make it do. You have to be tough. It may not happen, but I want it. I may not be there, but I want to. It may not be in my hand, but I'm snatching after it. I may not have apprehended, but I'm in the press. I may not climb the mountain, but I'll die with dirt in between my fingernails, because I will never lay there and accept where I came from to be where I'm going. My history is not my destiny. That's why I don't care when you say you knew me when. I don't care how many people knew me when. Until you know me now, you don't know anything at all. My history is not my destiny. You said, it's late, but I'm still waiting. I'm older, but I'm still waiting. I've had setbacks, but alas, alas, still waiting.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with this instruction. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 19, and we're talking about he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. And we know that if you're too perpetuate, if you move too fast, it'll get you in trouble. This is what God told Israel about this. He said, and this is God speaking through Moses, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I am your God, am holy. And then verse 11 through 13 continues, giving many other commandments that are relative to this, what Solomon said about being first and seemingly just. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Again, what we're saying, that this individual, or what Solomon says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Trickery could be the reason why, and we must test the spirit. And we know that Solomon said that in the latter part of verse 17. And verse 16 to 18 continues with God instructing or commanding Israel by saying, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer him to sin. And verse 18 says, thou shalt not grudge or avenge, nor grudge be grudged any against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. In verse 37 completes the thought or the commandment that God gives by saying, therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do all them. I am the Lord. So what I'm trying to tell you is that he that is first in his own cause seemeth just may not be. You need to take stock and think about what has been told you. Now, this is how it is put by Paul, and this will compare and agree and be more specific. Listen to what Paul says, and this is what should be our direction, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Verse 8 completes the thought. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And this is what I want you to take from this spiritually. Solomon says it best. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. My brothers and sisters, that may be the case with this individual that talks up first, but there may be trickery in it, and you got to be careful. And that's what I'm sharing with you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go back again. We're going to go to Proverbs 18 again and take another verse from Proverbs 18. This time we're going to be looking at verse 19, and as I mentioned in the past, the instruction is identical almost to the verse, so the instruction is, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. We got to be careful about offending one another, and this is what Solomon told Israel about it. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle, meaning once you fall into distrust, it is hard to rectify that. That's what this is telling us. And again, in Genesis chapter 50, we get an example of this. Listen to what occurred between Joseph and his brothers. We're looking at Genesis chapter 50. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to look at verse 14 through 21, and listen to how this went down. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did not do it unto thee evil, and now we praise thee. Forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This scenario shows you that you distrust, or you take a friend and corrupt your faithfulness toward that friend, that it could cause what happened between David and, Joseph and his brothers. They were afraid because they knew that they had done evil to him. And Matthew chapter 5, let's go there, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 26. And this is how Jesus puts it, because of the criticality of the relationship, meaning we do need one another. Jesus said this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, remember what happened with Joseph and his brothers, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So this is what Jesus is telling us, that we should not offend one another. Because once we do offend one another, it's hard to reconcile that trust. And that's, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Beware that you do not bite the hand that feeds you. And of course, I'm sure you've heard this many times. I see we're at our last break for tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
No wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. There was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and took down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. But nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, just to complete this thought about what Jesus said in this instruction related to a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So we know that we should be reconciled to our fellow brothers and fellow man as best we can. And now let's go to the next instruction. Back to Proverbs 18. We're going to look at verse 20. And again, this is just going to be the instruction almost identical to the verse. The instruction is, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So you know you hopefully will eat correctly, so that can be the case. But this is what Solomon said in verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And of course, this is not speaking literally, it's speaking spiritually. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And again, it's when you are doing what is right, following God's law, then you're going to be prosperous. Let's go now to Ecclesiastes. Solomon even amplifies this by saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, listen to what Solomon says about this too. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God hath given, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Now, more explanation is given to what Solomon said about a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. The point is that physically even, God is going to give you what you need to sustain yourself. But of course, if you disregard what God is issuing, the way that the body didn't prosper and be healthy, then it's going to work in reverse. And that's what you have to be aware of and sensitive to. And of course, we know in Hebrews, we're going to go and see how this compares and agrees in the book of Hebrews. We're going to, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 5 and verse 6. And the Hebrew writer gives us even more of an explanation. Listen, the Hebrew writer says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Again, the Hebrew writer is telling us that we should be content with what we have. And that's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that what God has given us, we should use that to our benefit, not what he hasn't given us. And it's so not in the makeup of this existence that the world is trying to cause us to do things differently. And that's why we have to be careful, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction. And that back again, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 21 this time, and get an instruction from 21. And, of course, the text, the verse is almost identical to the instruction. The instruction is, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That is critical to note. And verse 21 says it on this wise, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love shall eat the fruit thereof. My brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful with this. In fact, we're going to go to Psalms 120, and we're going to see how David warns Israel about the tongue, telling us that it is critical to note. Listen to what is said by David in Psalms 120, verse 2 through 4. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, coals of juniper. And verse 7 completes the thought. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That is why we know when we talked earlier about being led by the flesh, or by being led by the spirit and not by the flesh, that there is a war in our members and that we cannot do that which is right because of that war. The thing is that we must be led by the spirit, because the tongue will cause calamity. And would we compare and agree, which we're going to do now, we're going to go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me to James chapter 3. And we're going to listen to how James tells us how evil and critical the tongue can be. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a little fire kindleth by the tongue. And the tongue is that fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And verse 8 continues, it says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And verse 10 gives us the completion of the thought, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing." My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So James is specifically telling us how destructive the tongue is. And we know that the tongue is only giving what comes through the heart. And remember, we mentioned earlier that Jeremiah the prophet says the tongue, the heart is deceptive. It is desperately wicked, and who shall know it? And we know that Jesus Christ told us that out of the depths of the heart comes these menaces, evil thoughts and adultery and fornication and blasphemy and wickedness and the such like. And that is what's articulated through the tongue. So that is critical to know, my brothers and sisters. So how do we overcome that? Well, this is what I want you to get from that instruction, that the knowledge of good and evil has soured our stomach and caused death to our body and souls. But the knowledge of everlasting life is the antidote. My brothers and sisters, that's why it is so important to know that the knowledge of everlasting life supersedes and overrides the knowledge of good and evil, and that will subdue the tongue. That will change the heart. And that is what is so important for us to know and to be a part of. Okay. That completes the instruction for this evening. And what I'd like to do before we dismiss, I would like to let you know that the host and I are appreciative and thankful for you and continue to ask you to support us by listening and bless us with your comments when you give them. And we encourage you to continue to this in with your participation. So as we sign off, I say thank you and good night.
Choosing basic instructions before leaving Earth. Hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.